Welcome to Season 9, Episode 1 of Digital Learning Radio. For this series, we'll be answering the question, what have you learned this year about professional learning that has transformed your thinking?
To check in and recap, we recorded Season 8 in April 2020 during the beginning of the pandemic and quarantine and emergency remote teaching. We had a lot of conversations about designing learning for the triage times of last spring, but also bigger ideas for transforming classrooms and the design of learning beyond the way we've always done things. Each week, we focused on one of the new pillars for modern teaching from Gail Allen: design, curation, and feedback, and how they fit into transforming learning during the early stages of a global pandemic. Here we are a year later, and we certainly have learned a lot.
Yes, we have. It's April 2021, and the world is beginning to reemerge and have some semblance of pre-pandemic normalcy. We are hopeful that this time of triage is wrapping up, and we are excited for the possibilities and opportunities for making lasting transformation. This season, we'll focus on our reflections of learning and ideas for transforming professional learning. We'll be joined by a number of guests to share their 2020 experiences and related transformative thinking. As we move into summer learning and planning for fall of 2021, we are looking forward to transforming professional learning beyond the way we've always done things.
And I am so excited. Episode one is just us. So hello, Catherine. Even though we've continued to work closely together this year, it has been a year since our last podcast. So what have you been up to? Do you have a new pandemic takeaway or hobby that you've picked up since we've last chatted here?
I have missed our conversations, Laura, even though we have been together a lot. So still on the digital learning team at Region 10, I am finishing up year 31 in education. So I have said many times, I have felt like a new teacher all year, even though it is year 31.
Yes.
And I guess my pandemic takeaway is living and loving the subscription life. So
yes.
I have subscribed to coffee. And so I get my little coffee bean bag every few weeks and the meal kit life. During the pandemic, I had maybe 5 dinners I rotated for 6 months or 9 months. And so starting in January, I started doing the whole meal kits and love that. So that's my big takeaway. What about you, Laura?
Love it. Also, I was going to say, yeah, being quarantined at home really makes you realize like the 5 things that you know how to cook. So I can relate. And I also lean into that subscription life. What have I been up to? So lots of webinars, lots of asynchronous sessions, and lots of Zooming, still on the learning innovation team at Region 10. And thinking of Zooming, I had a joke that I kept saying earlier this year that there was a point in time where, like, if I didn't see myself talking on a screen, was I really talking? So that's my like weird pandemic philosophy thinking. But pandemic hobby that I got into, I feel like it's kind of a basic answer, but it really is real. I've gotten into that yoga with Adrian on YouTube. I think I mentioned it in an episode last spring, but I really have enjoyed leaning into that as a daily practice. You mentioned coffee. I kind of fell into that weird pandemic purchase life. There was like a point in time where people were just sharing their weird pandemic purchases because that's where we were. And mine was a 5-pound bag of coffee beans.
Oh,
and it was just for me. And it came in this like hilariously large bag, and it was a truly excellent decision. And I will not reveal how long it took me to go through that 5 pounds, but it was a perfect pandemic purchase.
Ooh, I could so use a 5-pound bag of coffee. That sounds amazing.
It was good and lasted a decent amount of time. So I'm so glad again to be back with you today, back here on the podcast. And so why don't we jump into our topic and our focus question for this series, which is, what have you learned this year about professional learning that has transformed your thinking? So we want to begin each episode this season with a story. So Catherine, do you want to kick us off? Here's the question. What have you learned this year about professional learning that's transformed your thinking?
Okay, I'm so excited to get to share the first story. And what I have really thought about is this huge change that I've made connected to curation. And that was a big topic in our last season. And I've talked about curation many, many times. And I am the type of person who loves exploring all the things. I don't want to say how many tabs open right now. and so in the pre-pandemic world as a professional learning facilitator, I probably overshared, hopefully not overwhelmed, and I wanted to provide as many tools, articles, images, podcasts, videos, whatever possible with the session participants. During a 6-hour face-to-face summer training where we have time and space to click and play and explore, that's good. If you're in the middle of a pandemic hosting a 1-hour lunch and learn webinar with people who are already stressed to the brim, maybe not so good. And so now I'm really thinking about strategically limiting the amount of stuff I share. And as a digital learning consultant, that's been so hard. Like, no, you're not going to see any new tools in my session. We are going to use Google Slides again, but I am curating my tools, my content, the resources shared, and I'm constantly thinking about what would be the most valuable use of our synchronous time. So that's the big key, is just limiting those resources and really curating carefully the things that I share. So.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And I know I learn a lot from you and admire and acquire a lot of the things that you're doing. And yeah, that has been a shift. I'm thinking of having 500 tabs open. That makes me think about the beginning of pandemic times and 2020 last March, when there was truly, an explosion of resources and links and good stuff that was being shared. But with the headspace of March 2020, I was completely unable to scan all of the info that was being shared, let alone sense make or share it. And so I have really appreciated some of the times that I've been in sessions, likely yours, that you can really see that intentional and smaller amount of information being curated and shared. It really does feel a lot less overwhelming and a lot more manageable. So I love that you love curation and talking about curation before the pandemic and have even kind of thought more about it living through 2020.
Well, I think about the principle of adult learning is that we do need to share less information and allow that process time, but now multiply that times 10, I think, during this pandemic world. And that reflection and that process time is so important. And this really started even on day one of our emergency remote webinars. Our team got together and we decided, hey, we are only going to share 2 tools are the top 3 tips for something. And that amount of sharing had to come from these carefully curated list of, like you said, I kind of have nightmares of that explosion of resources. And I've had to rethink all of my structures that I and workflows I had in place for curation. And it's really changed and has impacted how I do professional learning this year.
So yeah, I love that. I love that. I really love what you said about kind of giving people the opportunity to have that headspace or maybe breathing room to take it in and really lean into those 1 or 2 really good resources instead of here's 50 resources in 50 minutes, because that's a lot. And that's particularly a lot, like you said, in a 1-hour lunch and learn virtual session. So if you could narrow it down to 1 takeaway resource or idea to share when you're thinking about curation and thinking specifically about transforming professional learning, what would that be?
So as I said, I'm using fewer tools, and as I curate all of these additional resources, my big takeaway now is to share everything just being as simple as possible in a Google Doc rather than another tool. So I do try to make the Google Doc look pretty, or I add a page color for the background, or put everything in a table, add an icon or two. But instead of going to something that teachers may even be familiar with, I'm just really trying to streamline that process and keep it as a Google Doc. They can add it to their Drive, explore if they have any leisure time, and thinking about that as my curation share resource. So what about you, Laura? What's a takeaway from curation for transforming professional learning?
Yeah, so for me, I think the one takeaway that I have for curation is kind of similar to yours. It's really just keeping things simple and easy to access. So I have really enjoyed sessions where participants are in breakout rooms doing a task, and then that task is recorded in a shared deck of Google Slides. I like the way that we can crowdsource that curation of ideas or resources and have it available to access later. I also like that it's not one more click to one more site to one more tab to visit, really kind of like this one-stop shop for interacting and then also curating that work. And then to add to that, it's also been helpful to share those slides in a follow-up email for quick access after the session too. So I love that we're both thinking simplistically, like use what you have, use what you know, and have that kind of one place to be.
Well, and I think too that we are both honing in on that sharing aspect of those three S's of great curation. And I think the work on our end as professional developers is the scanning, finding those resources, making sense of them, prioritizing them or whatever, and then getting them into a simple format that people can access.
I love it. I feel like we're making a fourth S for curation, and it's simplicity.
So maybe so. Okay. So Laura, let's hear your story.
Okay. So when I think about professional learning and all of the many things I've learned, implemented, and iterated this pandemic year, one of the main things that comes to mind is the idea of time. And I know I talked a lot about time on our season last year, but in 2020, particularly early pandemic for me, time just stopped working in a way that I previously experienced it. So some days individually felt like weeks, and then working from home and being quarantined at home made time feel extra fluid and just weird. And with that, I really hit a wall in like late May, and the Zoom fatigue was real for me. And so this idea of time, and particularly what we were doing with our synchronous time together, really became one that I thought a lot about, especially after Zooming many days away. And so I think the pandemic and just all of the required changes and shifts in how we operate really put me in a place of learner with a steeper learning curve than I had experienced in a while. And so thinking about time and all of those kind of fluid thinkings, I would have never expected to enjoy asynchronous learning and recorded webinars as much as I do now. I have found that that works really well for me as a learner to get to learn whenever I want, and especially when I can adjust that playback speed for a faster or even double speed time to really capitalize on that time. So as a designer of professional learning, these are options and thinking that have really stuck with me and continue to transform my thinking when I'm designing learning.
Well, Laura, I can totally relate. And I am like you and never would have thought that asynchronous speed up the video would be my preference, but that has really resonated with me. And that's how I love learning this year. But you know, when you're talking about these options for asynchronous versus synchronous, and then the time element, I think you're really talking about choice, which falls into Gail's pillar, or which describes Gail's pillar of design, where you have those elements of time, place, medium, and socialness, where you can have choice in how you're accessing that information and then doing something with that information.
Well synthesized. So yeah, I think all of my swirling ideas and thinking really do culminate in designing with choice in mind. I think you've hit the nail on the head here. And so I like having choice as a learner, and I also like having choice as a designer. And so I'm thinking about designing learning opportunities with that choice in medium. Are we thinking synchronous? Are we thinking asynchronous learning? That choice again in time, maybe the length of the session or the time of day for participants to access it, that choice in place, virtual, in person, and then thinking about that choice in socialness too. And so in 2021, I'm feeling more empowered to have so many choices as a designer beyond that traditional setup for PD that we've always used. And I also want to provide intentional opportunities for choice for learners within the sessions that I'm designing, regardless of that setup also.
Well, and doesn't that just feel so good as a learner when you have those choices? And I think the transformative part is that when teachers are able to experience that and they're like, I love all of these choices, then hopefully they'll be able to take that into their own classrooms and see that power of choice in those four elements. So we gave quizzes last season. And so mm-hmm. you get an A+ for time, place, medium, and socialness.
Yes. Finally, too many pop quizzes. Yes. I got that learner transfer, I guess.
All right. So Laura, if you could narrow it down to one takeaway, resource, or idea to share about design or choice when thinking about transforming professional learning, what would it be?
So one is difficult, but since I hit that really just Zoom fatigue wall, I really have leaned into designing learning experiences that are asynchronous with that embedded choice for time for when the learning takes place. And so my one go-to resource for designing asynchronous content has been Pear Deck, the student pace mode. So the interactivity that it allows with the content on the slides or opportunity for that embedded reflection really have been game changers for keeping asynchronous slides engaging and interactive. Also, the record audio feature that allows me to share just a little bit more is really easy and another feature that I'm a huge fan of. So I know I mentioned two things, but it's all encompassed in Pear Deck, so that's going to count as one.
Well, and I've seen your work and it is fantastic. And you do make such good use of the Pear Deck. You were the first person I saw who did that asynchronous Pear Deck self-paced, and then the audio as well. So A+ again for you.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
So for me, choice was so challenging to figure out how to include that, especially thinking about a 1-hour webinar. How can I provide my learners with choice? And like you've mentioned now, I think, oh, there are a lot of opportunities. So my one resource I want to share is Catlin Tucker had a beautiful post that was, would you rather? So she provides this or that prompts, and it's specifically written for classrooms, but I know it will also fit beautifully for professional learning sessions. So for instance, would you rather work individually or in a small group? And Laura and I have actually created breakout rooms to do that. Or would you rather share a verbal explanation or type a written response? And so if you use a tool like Padlet or something, you can do all kinds of ways to respond. So Catlin Tucker's post is my one amazing thing to share. So check out her would you rather idea and use it for professional learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love that post. And I love that you have readily said, you know, throughout this year that choice was a struggle for you, particularly in that quick 1-hour Zoom life, and leaning into Catlin Tucker and designing sessions specifically for choice and with choice. You have done such a great job setting that up. And I think for me, at least, being part of that planning process or going through some of your sessions has made me realize, oh yeah, choice isn't that difficult to embed regardless of the setup. And back to my response, I love it when I get choice as a learner. And so it's very cool to see that in action. So I will give you some gold stars back. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So this series, we want to wrap up our conversations each week by sharing a reflection using the same sentence stem about the episode's topic. So this week we're thinking through, I used to think blank, but now I think blank about designing professional learning. So Catherine, you want to go through that sentence stem for us?
Okay. So I used to think there were only a few ways to design and deliver professional learning, but now I think the sky's the limit about ways to provide choice within professional learning sessions.
Mm.
Okay, so that choice now, Laura, that's in the front of my head. So
yeah. All okay. Right. Well, for me, I used to think that professional learning came in nice boxes of 3-hour or 6-hour content in a specific face-to-face location. But now I think that there are so many options to explore, specifically thinking about time and space.
Excellent. And wow, that is such an important distinction between 3 hours, 6 hours, and now the sky's the limit with all of those possibilities. So great. Okay, I have loved our first conversation, and Laura, I am thrilled to get back in the studio or back in our living rooms.
Yes.
recording via Zoom, and I am so excited about the potential of continued transformation.
Me too. It's definitely good to be back. And this past year has been a wild one, filled with so many changes, struggles, growth, innovation, and transformation. And as we continue to open up and reemerge from pandemic life, we're excited by the prospect of rethinking what we've always done and toward making lasting change and true transformation. We're inspired by the words of Drs. Jenna Mancini Rufo and Dr. Julie Kausten, who say this in their book, The Reimagined School. We have a unique opportunity to press pause and reimagine school, to take the lessons of 2020 and turn them into action by closely examining the old ways, letting go of practices that don't serve students, and creating new routines and environments that meet the needs of every learner. When I came across this quoted excerpt on Twitter, I felt seen and I felt excited. And so thinking about that, let's strive to let go, to create new, and to reimagine. Let's transform.